deal struck between Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd and the ranking Republican Richard Shelby of Alabama to move forward with this. It's legislation that's very popular with consumers. As Dodd pointed out recently, a lot of times Congress has to educate the public about the need to do something legislatively. In this case, Congress was getting a whole lot of input from the public to begin with. This is a bill that's considered a little bit tougher than its House counterpart. There are some differences that will have to be worked out. It's still going through the amendment process, so I suppose it's still possible that some sort of poison pill amendment could pass. But I think it's going to be hard for the Senate at this point to reject this. A lot of consumers over a long period of time have been upset with the way credit card companies assess rates and fees and turn promotional rates into big increases and increase finance charges on existing balances. I think the big part of the deal here was a concession from Dodd to allow existing balances, the rates on existing balances, to be increased after 60 days of delinquency. And Dodd had said they should never be able to be increased. And so that was a big part of the compromise. The House actually has 30 days in there. So basically existing balances that you're delinquent on wouldn't be able to be raised for 2 months.
Yeah, and Jonathan, some of these measures are maddening. We've all experienced them. But the banking industry is saying that this could really seriously hurt the profits they get from their credit card business, and therefore it would limit the amount of credit available to the average person, and therefore it might be harder to get a credit card because of this.
Right, and I mean, we've been hearing for months and months, obviously, about the credit crunch and how it's difficult to for consumers to get credit, difficult for banks and for credit card companies to extend credit. So that's the tack that credit card companies have been taking, saying if you do this, it's going to hurt consumers who need to buy things, you know, on their credit cards, whether it's, you know, whether it's a car or formula for a baby. And that's certainly something that I think lawmakers are trying to take into account as much as possible. They realize that they are imposing some new rules on the industry that will be a little bit difficult for the industry to adjust to. But I think they also believe, the lawmakers, or a lot of them, that you know, that interest and lending have never been unprofitable businesses.
No, and you know what they're responding to, I think, people reporting that their rates are raised when they're one day late, that they're changing the rules, even if you're not late on the on a particular credit card, but you're late on another credit card.
Right. One of the things that this bill would do is actually crack down on penalties for people who pay on time.
Right, and that's what they do. I mean, people,
No, I'm serious.
What?
That's not a joke. There's a
Penalty for paying on time?
Right. Well, there's a provision in this bill that seeks to prohibit penalties for paying on time.
It's amazing, though. I think that they are just, you know, the banking industry, or the credit card industry, I guess, is just trying to make profits where they can at this point with everything else on the downswing. Credit seems to be the one thing people are turning to in the recession to keep themselves afloat.
Well, and, you know, I think this has been a society that spends a lot for quite a long time, and credit cards have been a way to keep doing that and to sort of keep that going, even in the good times. Certainly in the bad times, that becomes more necessary for a lot of consumers.
And just, I was wondering too, Jonathan, I mean, there's if you look at this, it seems like the whole result of this could be less credit around for people, maybe less spending, and maybe less overhang that's been so problematic. But it doesn't sound as if the Senate is looking at, the Congress really, is looking at the whole banking situation holistically. They're dealing with the meltdown of the banks and of the foreclosure issue here, and they're looking at the credit card issue there, and not really comprehensively as one big industry, are they?
Well, I think that they are, but you're not seeing it as much legislatively right now. I think you're going to see that coming down the road. I mean, for instance, with this credit card legislation, this has been in the works for years and years. And I think that in terms of modernizing the national financial system, I think that's something that they're taking a little bit more time with, because it's very much a reaction to what happened last year with the financial markets and the implosion of the mortgage industry. And so I think they're trying to look at that, but I think that's going to be a little slower coming because it hasn't been thought about for quite as long, and it's obviously a lot more comprehensive than just this look at credit card companies. And by the way, I'm looking at it right now. It's in Section 102, a prohibition on penalties for on-time payments.
Jeez, I never thought I'd see the day when you pay on time and you still get a penalty. We're talking this morning to Jonathan Allen. He is with CQPolitics.com and also a member of our News Channel 8 panel on Friday nights. But Jonathan, I wanted to make a quick jog to the hearing, the subcommittee hearing today in the Senate Judiciary Committee. They're going to be talking about the memos that were written under the Bush administration that allowed these enhanced interrogation techniques. What do you expect to see at this hearing today? Because now there's some reports that Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, actually was informed that waterboarding was going to be used on some of these detainees. So where do we expect this hearing today to go?
Well, I'm not sure. It's a little bit open-ended at this point. I mean, you're seeing Congress right now take the position that the CIA is fighting Congress and members of Congress and selectively leaking things, selectively putting information out there to make members of Congress, presumably the Speaker included, look bad. And I think you may start to see some questioning in that direction. You know, I think the Speaker for the moment has, not a legal problem, but a political problem, which is that certainly some people are going to believe that she knew more about what was going on than she has led on over the years. Her office is starting to take the tack that she couldn't really talk about what she knew because she was getting classified information.
Yeah, except that she held a press conference, and in the press conference she said she was told that this is potentially, maybe, something that could be used, not that it was used. So, I mean, that sounds like she's parsing the word "is" once again.
Right. And of her, of course, her briefing, and we don't have a transcript of it, so we don't know exactly what
right.
was said, and we may never, but that was September 4th, I believe, of 2002, the month before Abu Zubaydah, we now know, had been waterboarded 83 times. So either the Speaker was told those things and hasn't been forthcoming about it since then, or she wasn't told about Abu Zubaydah, and she ought to be pretty mad at intelligence officials for telling her that these things could happen when they had just happened 83 times in 1 month to one person.